We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelavis for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Le'ilui Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Abraham, Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, the neshama should have an Aliyah. The title for today's shiur is People Pleaser, and we are going to see how that fits in with the statements of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. If you remember from last week, we saw two statements from Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. If you weren't here, don't worry too much. We're going to review them briefly so we can see enough for what we need to understand for this week. But today we're going to be focusing on the third statement of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. And these three statements span the Mishnayos 9 and 10 in chapter 3. So here we go. If you look in source number 1, the first two are the ones we did last week. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa Omer. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa says, Kol she'yiras cheto kodemes l'chachmaso, chachmaso miskayemes. Anybody who has fear of sin and that precedes his wisdom, then the wisdom will endure. V'kol she'chachmaso kodemes l'yiras cheto, ein chachmaso miskayemes. But for somebody who their wisdom precedes their fear of sin, then their wisdom will not endure. Number two, Hu haya Omer, Kol shemasav merubim mechachmasav, chachmasav miskayemes, v'kol shechachmasav merubim mimasav, ein chachmasav miskayemes. All whose actions, deeds, are more than their wisdom, then the wisdom will endure. Those whose wisdom is more than his deeds, then the wisdom will not endure. So both of those statements, as we focused on last week, sort of like a prerequisite, if you will, to wisdom. Wisdom isn't just about knowledge. Wisdom requires both fear of sin as well as action, doing. It's not just contemplation, it's not just thinking. Those two, fear of sin and actions, are prerequisites to wisdom. Now here's his third statement. And as we read the third statement, we're going to ask ourselves the questions that we usually ask ourselves. What's the connection between, is there a connection between the statements? Does this third statement have anything to do with the first two? The first two have the same structure. They sound similar. They're both talking about what we need besides for wisdom. So is this third statement related at all to the first two? Hu haya Omer. He used to say, Kol sheruach habrios nocha hemenu, ruach hamakom nocha hemenu. Anybody who the ruach of brios, the spirit of people like him, right? People are satisfied with him, people enjoy this person. So if that's the case, if people like you, then ruach hamakom nocha hemenu. Then God likes you. Again, we're translating ruach nocha hemenu as like. Maybe you can argue with that, but I think for now it's going to suffice. V'chol she'ein ruach habrios nocha hemenu. But if people don't like you, ein ruach hamakom nocha hemenu. God doesn't like you. Now, the structure, in terms of our question of is this relating to the first statement, in terms of the structure of how it's presented, in terms of the literary structure, it does seem to be a connection. It has this, if this, then this, and if not, you know, the inverse, then it's not true. So the structure, yes. Now what about content? So that's, as we look through the sources, that's one question that we're going to be asking. Is this statement about people liking you or God liking you relevant to the wisdom and the actions and fear of sin? But let's start asking some more questions. Besides for just, is it connected to the first two statements? What other questions can we ask about this third part of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa's teachings? Okay, so is this, what if people like me? I don't know why. Maybe people like me because I have a lot of money. Maybe people like me because I make fun of people. Maybe people like me because, you know, why is it automatic that just because people like me, then God is going to like me? Okay? Or broader question, is this automatic at all? Right? And this is the same questions that we asked last week. Is this a guarantee? Is this a structured in creation that this has to be, that if people like me, it must be that God likes me? Just like, is it must be that the only way that I can have wisdom is if I fear sin? Ah, but we see people who fear sin, who don't fear sin and have wisdom, right? That was a question we asked last week. Same thing about this week. Is it must be that the only way for God to like me is if people like me? Right? Is there another way that God could like me? If people don't like me, can God still like me? Or are you telling me no? It's a necessity that this is what happens. So that's one question that we could ask on this. Any other questions that we can ask on this? Yeah. So how would you translate or understand Nocha Hemenu? They translate it here as derives satisfaction.
Nocha is to be
right. So it could be there's another definition of Nocha. I don't know if that's going to fundamentally change the idea. Right? The idea of the Mishnah is saying that these two things are connected. God being Nocha with me is connected to people being Nocha with me, however you want to define Nocha. So if you come up with another definition, feel free to share it. But for now, we're just going to go with pleased, like, there's some level of mutual liking going on here.
No, I'm just trying to think of the Tanakh. You know, when are there people that God loved that people didn't, like Yirmiyahu? Well, I don't know.
Okay, so that's a good question, right? So nobody really liked Yirmiyahu, but presumably people, assuming God liked them, right? So here's an example of times, and it's not even in think about that, but it's not even in Tanakh. It's in Chazal also. It's both where you find that there's a concept that that Amei Haaretz, right, the standard folk, tend to not like Talmidei Chachamim. Yeah. So what about them? They. Right, so there's examples. There's proof from Tanakh. There's proof from real life that just because somebody likes you doesn't mean that God likes you. What if, again, like you started off with the question, like, okay, people could like you for bad reasons, right? And what about the flip? There, people presumably are doing the right thing. God might like that, but other people might not like that. So just from raw data, from empirical evidence, this doesn't seem to hold up as a guarantee that this happens. So if that's the case, so then we have to understand what's the message, what's the meaning, what's Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa trying to teach me. Okay, now one other question to ask is that if you think about the connection between the Ruach HaBrios is Nocha Hemenu, Ruach HaMakom Nocha Hemenu. So is that a, as we say in Talmudic terminology, a simon or a siba? Meaning, is it that the fact that God, if I see that people like me, does that cause God to like me? Right? Is the fact that people like me causing God to like me? Or is the fact that people like me, the fact that people like me just shows that God likes me? Right? Is it a simon, that it's proving that it exists? Or is it a siba, is actually causation? People like me, therefore God likes me? Or people like me, that must mean that God likes me? So we're going to see the Mepharshim are going to differ on this, but yeah.
I'm trying to see a connection between the three different.
Okay, so what do you got?
The first one you have, you know, but Yirat Faith, and the other one you have Masaf, so, and then you have people like you. Well, maybe somebody who is Yirat Faith and somebody who is Masim, or good Masim, the combination of those two make people like you, and if that's what's making people like you, then
okay, good. So if you read 1 plus 2 equals 3, a sort of example, you could read Yiras Chet is paradigmatic of God, right? So this is something that I'm doing that God would like. My masim, my actions, that could be paradigmatic of doing things for people. So God plus people equals, you know, this one big everybody likes you. Right? So that could be. We're going to see some mepharshim that might argue something similar, not exactly to like that.
What is that, the pasuk that we all know, the old Yom Yom Day, Elohim, the Adam?
Right.
Elohim is first.
So.
Right, exactly. Here also, Elohim is always first, and then comes the Adam.
Right, so the question is that the pasuk is relevant, but is that.
I don't know.
Right, so we want both of those. Yeah. Here it's almost like it's not just we want both of them, that they're integrally need to be that way. Right? So we have enough questions to guide us. Let's start with the Mepharshim. The first parish is Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Hu haya omer kol shuruach abrios nocha hemenu ruach hamakom nocha hemenu." Quotes our Mishnah. He says, "Rotze lomar, mishu maso matano na im abrios." People who deal with people nicely, I'm pleasant with people. V'kula makirim ki be'emuna im abrios. He's very loyal. He's very trustworthy. like it says in the Gemara, Kedamir Mesechas Yuma, Kol Tamid Shekor V'Shona V'Nosa V'Noten V'Emuna M'Abrios Ma Abrios Omeras Alav Ashrei Ploni Shalom Torah Ashrei Abiv Ashrei Imo Shalom Do Torah. So if you see somebody who, not just that they learn, it's not just that he's a Talmud and that he learns, but he also deals with people honestly. He's pleasant to people. So then people will say about this person, praiseworthy is this person, praiseworthy is his father, praiseworthy is his mother, because they're the ones who trained him nicely. V'alzeh, end of the third line, ruach hamakom nochemenu. That's the key words here. V'alzeh. What does that mean, v'alzeh? Because of this. It's causation. Because people like you, God's gonna like you. V'alzeh ruach hamakom nochemenu. Mipnei shatorah mitkaleset al yado. Because, so why is it that God likes you? Because people will look at you and do what? Praise Torah. It's a kiddush Hashem. Right? So it does give a context that this doesn't mean people are going to like me because I'm good at sports or I'm good at video games or I'm good. It's that people, it's talking about somebody who is a Talmud. It's somebody who's Korah Vishona. And that when that person who is solid in his religious study, and he still is somebody who deals nicely with people, then it's great. God likes that. God likes that person. Because Rabbeinu Yonah says, what does God get out of it? So you could have just said God gets out of it because that's what he wants. He wants people, you know, to play nice with each other. But that's not just what he gets out of it. He gets out of it that he gets a good name out of this. Right? People say, wow, this is great. This is what learning Torah, this is what being a firm Jew is all about. We like this. We want to be like that as well. Quotes a pasuk, reference to a pasuk, that you need to be good for people and you need to be good for God. So if you're not good for people, God doesn't like that and he's not going to be pleased with that. But for at the very least, in terms of some of our starting questions, Rabbeinu Yonah looks at it as causation, is that if people like you, then God will like you, because it shows that this is a good lifestyle, being a firm, religious, learned Jew, being nice, that's something we want to do. That's why God appreciates it. Now, look at source number three. Rashi's going to learn it a little bit differently. Kol sheruach habrios, kilomar, kol mishehu ehov lamata, biyadua shehu ehov lamala. Ahuv. Because anybody who is beloved down below, meaning by people, it is known, right, that proves that Hashem loves him. That's a little bit of a different way of formulating it. That's not an because statement, it's a proof statement. So it's not that if you are good with people, then God will like you because you're good with people, but it's that if people like you, that is proof, that proves that God likes you. So it's a nuance different, but it's important, and we'll see that. But it's not. It's as we'll see in the Mefarshim. What we're going to now have to deal with is why is that the case, right? Why is it that just because people like me, that proves that God likes me? What about if people like me for the wrong reasons? So does that prove that God likes me? Obviously not. So what's the proof here? How is it that just because people like me, that proves that God likes me? So we're going to see the Mefarshim. We're going to deal with this. Yeah. Again, yeah, I recorded that before, but you're right. There's a relationship. We're trying to understand is what is this relationship? How does this relationship connect to each other? Is it need to be this relationship? Does it have to be? Can you separate these two? Right. So. Right. So we have to figure out. Perhaps we'll see the in source number six when we get to it. He'll elaborate on why it uses the term ruach. But you're right. We could be more nuanced in why it says ruach and what does it mean, nocha hemenu. For now, we're just sort of jumping over that. When we get to more mefarshim, we'll see some more nuance. Yeah.
It's almost Calvinistic in his approach, because they basically, a person is rewarded and punished in on this world, and that's how they judge how successful or you're God fearing anymore, and you're undisciplined. But that seems to be the Rashi seems to be.
Well, Rashi's saying that if people like me, that proves that God likes me. So why people? Okay, I hear. So let's see. Source number four. This, we're starting to now delve in and try to figure out why is this so? Why is it that just because people like me, that means that God likes me? The Abarbanel is going to give a pretty, I think, psychological approach. As we've seen until this point, I think we keep recently, we're making this point in many, many Mishnayos, is that there's usually two ways to understand these type of Mishnayos. There's one way is to understand it on a practical, you know, scientific, psychological, this world explanation. That's something that we can understand from a, you know, modern scientific perspective. And then the other way that Mefarshim are going to deal with Mishnayos like this is that it has nothing to do with how the world works in a scientific way, but it has to do with the supernatural way, how God intervenes, how God deals with us in this world. So we'll see how this is going to play out in sources 4, 5, and 6. So look at the Abarbanel. This is going to be the more naturalistic explanation. Why is it that just because people like me, that proves that God likes me? Vigam. Now he's also going to keep this and tie it into the previous concepts of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. So he's going to be doing a lot of things. Hopefully we can follow it together. Vigam yitakem lefaresh. Chachmato mitkayemet ve'eno mitkayemet. What does it mean? This was the first and second clauses of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa that's dealing with wisdom enduring and wisdom not enduring. So he says you can understand that bebechinas hashomin. What does it mean that wisdom is going to endure? We didn't see this last week. We understood that wisdom was going to endure within the person. So if I have fear of sin, my wisdom is going to sustain, my own wisdom. If I have more actions, my wisdom is going to sustain. Rabbi Abarbanel says, no, it doesn't mean my wisdom is going to sustain. It means that if I have fear of sin, and if I have lots of actions, whose wisdom is going to sustain? The people I'm teaching. Hashomim, the people that are listening. So if I act as a role model of somebody who has fear of sin and somebody who has lots of actions, when people see me, they want to be like that. They're going to want to follow that. So the chachma, the wisdom, is of the person speaking, influencing the other people's wisdom. Right? That's the wisdom is the other people's wisdom. Bebechinas hashomim. When somebody who's known of he does a lot but talks a little bit, so he doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk. So people see that and they listen to this person. He's an influencer. So they're going to follow him. But if not, if this person is just a big talker, nobody really respects that, and they're not going to be influenced, they're not going to listen to this person. Now, ulefi, right? So what he's doing now, and the reason why this is important for this third clause, is he's saying the first and second clauses is going to be directly related to the third clause, right? Can you foreshadow what he's about to do? Now that number one and two has to do with influencing other people, now number three, the third clause, which has to do with other people, right, directly, is going to be much more organically connected to the first two. Ulefi shepamim rabo sa'adam ein tocho kibaro. We have a problem. There's lots of people out there whose insides are not like their outsides, meaning that outside they pretend, they show there's somebody who's great, but on the insides they're not. Umara atzmo yirei chet ubal masan ubetocho yasim arbo. So there's people who outside they look like they do a lot, they look like they have fear of sin, and then they go back to their house and nobody's looking, nobody cares, nobody watches, they do whatever they want to do. They're not so nice, they're not so good to their family, however you want to describe this person. It's not tocho kibaro. Lachain, because of that, the third clause comes. Bahamamar ashlishi, kosher ruach abrios, no ruach hamakom no chemed. That all those who the people like God likes, what does that mean? The inyano sha'afal pishiya adam ela piu male mirimos v'tov. This person, he's not so good. He's lying a lot. Zehinei apirsim akolol yigala ra'aso. So now that's the problem. This is an essential problem now, according to the Abarbanel. If you're telling me that somebody who's external is so, externally he's doing great, but inside he's not so good. So how do we know that? right? How do we determine as other people whether this is somebody we should be respecting or not? This is a person who's the problem to clause number three. Because clause number three is saying, if people like him, must be God likes him. What if people like him because he fakes them out? What if people like him because he's nice to them, but then you know other people don't like him because he's not nice to them? His family doesn't like him. He's mean to them. Or he goes home and he's Mechalel Shabbos. And so he's putting up a front. So this is the actual problem with how we understood number three to begin with. It doesn't prove just because other people like me that God's going to like me because I can fake out other people. I see Abarbanel says no. Hine hapirsum hakolo yigala ra'aso. Eventually, and we see this too, it's going to come out. You can fool people for a little bit, but you can't fool people forever. Lefi sheklalos ha'am tamid yasig amitas hadvarim v'lo yuchol haramai l'ramos es hakol v'lachen hayakol harabim kekol shakai. You can't fool everybody forever. Eventually, people, the nation, the community will figure it out. And because of that, the voice, it's a very nice phrase, the voice of the people is like the voice of God. Right? Because eventually it's going to come out. You can't fool everybody. So he takes care of the problem in theory. Now you can tell me, oh, but I know of somebody who's fooling. Now that's a problem because if you know about them, that means that it didn't work. Right? The only way you would know about that person if that person was you. Right? So he deals with the problem to some extent. Eventually it's going to get known. Now what about the 12 months in between where everybody loves this person and he gets caught? Okay, so that's 12 months. But eventually it's going to come out. Umipnei zeh nemar la'avram, and he quotes concepts for Avram, v'nibru b'cha komish pos adama, so people are going to be blessed by you, v'hem gam omru, nasi elokim ata b'tochenu, l'fisha emes tamid l'chlalus b'nei adam. It's a very powerful statement. Truth always is with the populace. V'kumosha omru b'perek v'elu m'galchen, ma'adich siv chachmas b'chutz tarona, k'da'ama rabba kola osek b'torm r'pnim, tarasa mecharezes ala b'farhesia, shiratza lomar sha'osek l'shum shamayim, v'hu b'emes r'echeinu ma'asim misharim, ha'pirsum machruz ala v'shleimos v'ansa botzit kasa. So the Rabbanel has a lot of faith in humanity, a lot of faith in the community, a lot of faith in people to be able to discern eventually at least who's good and who's bad. Yeah.
Talking about Leo, he proposed Nachman's policy that if the student did not have consistently good nidos inside and outside, he wasn't permitted to enter base men. Rabbi Elizabeth has already corrected this, and he corrected it based on the Kof Shalom Lishma Bolishma, so that the person may be self-correcting, maybe from Elbert Shubah. So it isn't as negative as eventually people will find out. There's also the possibility that eventually the person changes.
It's a very positive spin on it. Yeah, eventually the person will change. I hear you. I hear you. Yeah, Fred, and then we'll keep going.
Crazy question. Did he write this before or after the expulsion from Spain?
I don't know. The other question is, does this apply to all general population, just the Jewish population, just the Torah community? So unclear. I'm not sure what the answer is. So that's the Abarbanel's answer. But so the Abarbanel, at least from our perspective, just to put it into what we're doing in the broader theme of the shiur, is that this explanation shows why is it, question number one, according to Rashi, it's not that like Rabbeinu Yonah says, that the fact that people like me causes God to like me. Here it's a proof. If people like me, that proves God likes me. It doesn't cause it, it proves it. So how does it prove that God likes me? So the Abarbanel says it's just natural way the world works, is that when people like you, that means you're doing the right thing. And if you weren't doing the right thing, people wouldn't like you. Right? So again, whether or not you agree with that fully, okay. But at the very least, it's a very naturalistic way of understanding this connection. If people like me, that proves that God likes me. If you look at source number five, the Maharal takes it in a different approach. We're not going to read all of this inside. If you remember last week, you read the Maharal. It takes a while to get through it. But his main point is actually very similar to what he made his point from last week. The Maharal said last week is that it's in terms of Chachma and Yiras Chet. He said it's definitional. It's built into the supernatural order that if somebody needs to have fear of sin in order to have wisdom. You can't have wisdom without fear of sin. That's what the Maharal built it into. He said this is the only way to get knowledge, because knowledge is from God, and God is only going to give you knowledge if you have fear of sin. Otherwise, he's not going to give you knowledge. That was the Maharal. Maharal asked on himself, what about the people who have fear of sin, who don't have fear of sin and still have knowledge? Right? If I'm telling you it has to be this way, so what about the exceptions? So remember what he said? He said, okay, it's an exception. Right? But it's still a rule. Right? So every rule has an exception, but for the most part, 99.9% of the time, for most people, most of the time, it's the rule. God's only going to give you wisdom if you have fear of sin. So now he says a similar thing with this concept of Ruach HaBrios and Ruach HaMakom. He argues, and you can read it on your own inside if you want, but he argues similarly that it's definitional, that you need Ruach HaBrios in order to have Ruach HaMakom. You can't have one without the other. They must go hand in hand. And why is that? Because that's built into the supernatural order. That's how God created the world, that it has to be this way. Now, flip the page. We're just going to use that as a jumping point. I think source number 6 is going to bring out the point that I want to make even stronger. So we're not going to spend time in the Maharal. Source number 6, the Merkevas HaMishnah, is going to connect the two concepts. The Chachma from clauses 1 and 2, and the people-pleasing from clause number 3, and give it as a different approach. This is going to be our counterpoint to the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel said it was naturalistic. If God likes me, if people like me, that proves that God likes me, because that's how the world works. Now look at the Merkavas HaMishnah, source number 6, is going to understand it differently. V'im tomar, heyach efshar la'adam shiyu masa merubim mechachmaso. So going back to clause number 2, how can it be that somebody would have more actions than wisdom? Sha'arei ha'masa eino ki'im b'fi masha tigzar ha'chachma. Actions can only reflect how much wisdom I have. And this is something we brought up last week. Actions are limited to how much I can't do more than I know. Right? So how can it be that I'm doing, that's basically what the Mishnah is saying, I'm doing more than I know. That can't be the explanation, because you can't do more than you know. So rather, what does it mean? Skip that for now. It is possible to have more actions than wisdom. It means to go to an extreme, just to do more. Just to do more. For those in the Rambam shir, you could ask this against the middle path. That's fine. But do more than your actions. Okay. So the prerequisite to know what we need to know for now. Look at Mishnah Yud. Vihine, hu mosif amasha nigzer al-chachma. What am I talking about? Somebody who has done more than the wisdom. V'ha adam asher hu misnahag bezos hamida. V'vadai ruach abrios nochemenes. So he connects the two clauses. Somebody who's doing midas chasidus. He's going above and beyond what he actually needs to do. Here's the law. He's going beyond that. He's doing more than he needs to do. That person, people are going to like. People are going to like the people who go above and beyond. V'yeh ratzui l'rov echav. And he's going to be wanted or desired or liked by most of his friends, the people around him. What's that a reference to? Mordechai. It was Ratzui L'Rov Echav. And what does the Gemara say about that phrase? Rove, but not all. Right? Can't be liked by everybody. And there's some commentators who say that explicitly here, is that even in this Mishnah, it doesn't mean every single person, because it's impossible to be liked by every single person. It's not going to happen. V'teda. Okay, what we're going to get to soon is that should you try? We'll get there. V'teda sheruach hamakom noche emenu sheteka avaso b'lev anashim. Right? So this, he goes with the same understanding that we've been saying with Rashi and the Abarbanel from now, is that if people like me, and why are people going to like me? Because I'm a chassid, I'm doing more than I need to do. That's going to prove v'teda that God likes me. It's going to prove that God likes me. Second line in the second paragraph. But why does it prove that God likes me? If people like me, why does that prove that God likes me? Shetaka ahavaso b'leva anashim. What does that mean? God put the love of other people, of you in other people. Right? So this isn't that this is just how the world works, that people are going to know if you like, you know, if they like you, that proves that you're good. No, this is that God intervenes and puts the love of you in other people. So other people are going to like you. Kamosha Kasa of Shlomo, this gets back to, you know, we mentioned in the past, you know, to what extent does God intervene in our thought process? Ukamosha Kasa of Shlomo, Allah Hashem, Beretzos Hashem, Darche Ish, Gamo Ivav Yashlim Ito, Vu Shalo Dai Shia Vu, Ko Avav Shehem Mino, Elafilu Misha Eno Mino, Hu O Eboso. So even, not just your in group, but even the out groups are going to like you. Vizeosh Kosheruach Abrios Nochemenu. Umizei Yisvar HaHafchin, this is going to explain the opposite. Shim Eno Medaber Elabrios Bechlal. Eich tomar b'chol she'en ruach abriyos nocha, re'yesh lanu gdola asinu she'sonim amei arasas atamar chachamim. So we have a problem here. There are people who, like we've mentioned in the past, there are people who hate tamidei chachamim. So what does that mean? So God doesn't like them, they're tamidei chachamim. Presumably God likes them. So people don't like him. So that proves that God, that doesn't make sense. Hayim nemar she'bishvil she'en ruach amei arasas nocha mehem, gam ke'en ein ruach hamakom nocha mehem. Can we really say that just because some schnook on the street doesn't like this guy, that means that God doesn't like him? So he steps out of this and he says, so this gets back to what you were saying. So what are we talking? Who are we talking about here? Who has to like you in order for this to work? The Balei Chachma. If the smart people like you, then that's okay. But if the people who you know, there's some sort of sinna inherent in people, their jealousy, if you will, between people who know stuff and or the people who don't know stuff, the people who know stuff. So if they don't like you, you don't really have to worry about that. But if your crowd likes you, if your yeshiva likes you, if your classmates like you, and your teachers like you, that's the only rubric that you need. Behem bali chachmo maisa. Am la min she'em ba lo chachmo v'lo maisa. We don't have such good things to say about them. Who nimshal ke behemos nidmu, v'hu golem v'lo tzura. They're like animals. They're like a golem. They have nothing internal inside them. So fine. So we have to harp on that for now. But he's sidestepping the problem, right? We're limiting it. It doesn't mean when we started off, we say it sounds like this hard and fast rule that people like you, God likes you. So first we say no. First of all, not everybody has to like you. Ratzoy the rov echav. And number two is that not only is it Ratzoy the Rov Echav, it means Rov Echav means the people that you're, you know, in tune with. But the people who are in the, you know, who don't learn, who don't care, they don't like you, we don't care about that. So that's one point. But the other point for our bigger purposes is how does he understand if people like me, that proves that God likes me? Because the only way that the people like you is because God put that love into them. Right? It's pretty fascinating way of understanding how the world works. But again, this is a bigger question. I don't have full answers to this because these are metaphysical questions that are beyond us, but I'll just give you an example of how this concept plays a part in how we understand how we work and how the world works and how God's work. I was in the car yesterday with my daughter and we were the after Shabbos, thank you, Lisha. And the backstory is that it was Erev Shabbos, and we were lighting Hanukkah candles, and she decided beforehand, without consulting anybody, that she was going to set up her Hanukkah candles for Motzi Shabbos. I'm not sure why, but she wanted to set it up for Motzi, before we lit on Friday night, set up her candles for Motzi Shabbos. And then obviously, you know, Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, Hanukkah is the, you know, craziest day of the year because you have to light your Hanukkah candle and then get to shul and make Shabbos and everything. So we were in a rush and it's like, okay, we're only lighting one Hanukkah candle and hers was already set up, so we used hers. So now Motzi Shabbos, Motzi Shabbos, she tells me in the car, she's like, do you think that Hashem put the thought in my head that I should set up my candles for Motzi Shabbos? Why else would I have done that, right? Like, why would I set it up for Motzi Shabbos? Like, so it must have been that Hashem put it in the head, so they had the Siyata Deshmaya in order that, right? So Okay, so she, so this is, right? But us in our scientific, you know, minds know that just it was a coincidence and this and that, I decided this and that. So how do you view the world? How do you view your decisions? How do you view how all this stuff works? Really comes down to, do you give a naturalistic explanation for this? Or you say that God puts thoughts into my head. You think about one more example, Yosef in the dreams. How do you understand the whole concept of Yosef understanding what the answer to the dreams were? So a few years ago, last year, 2 years ago, I gave a Shal Shuras, I spoke about this, and I quoted Rabbi David Foreman, who has a great series, great, he's great in general, has a great series on this, where he basically tries to explain how Yosef figured out what the dreams meant from a creative, scientific type of understanding. You know, what is this reference? You know, like Sherlock Holmes, he was figuring out all the pieces of how he had this dream and then this dream, what's missing, the seven, and how does the seven represent this? So Yosef was putting together all of the answers in his head to try to figure out how to interpret the dreams, right? So the other way to understand it is God told him how to interpret the dreams, right? So that's really... Right. But it comes down to this. How do we understand how these things work? Is it that God puts the thought into my head, or is it that I figured it out on my own? And that's how brains and thinking works. It's a pretty powerful. I wouldn't say the Yabar Benel would disagree with that necessarily. But when we look at Perkei Avos and we're reading these Mishnayos, do we understand it in this naturalistic, scientific way, or do we understand it in this supernatural? God just did it. He put the thought in. That's how this stuff happens. Yeah.
Contradictory,
because
even if you go to say natural, what you're saying about Yosef is a natural. The natural, that's the middle. That's the real
hashgacha.
In other words, to recognize that which is natural within you.
Right. Is what?
Is also
from Hashem. Right. Right. It gets a little confusing. Right? Is it? But that's not what he's saying. Right. So you're understanding it from a modern understanding of how this works, that you can say that the way I think also comes from God in an abstract sort of God created my mind side. That's not what they're saying. They're saying God inserted this thought and God inserted this emotion into all these other people. And that, right. But again, the other way of understanding Yosef is that no, it's not that God gave him the ability to think like that. That God literally told him the answer to this, to the, you know, some sort of like a semi-nevuah type of thing. And we believe in nevuah, right? That's not the point. But the point here is that on a normal daily basis, when I'm interacting with my, whatever I'm doing, is that God's inserting this thought, or am I thinking about it, right?
How'd you answer your door? That's the most important question.
I don't know, but it could be. I don't know if that's the right answer or not, but I right. I don't, and that's the answer I'll give you. I have no idea. I don't know how this works. One, yeah. Right. But that doesn't mean automatically that God inserted it into his head. Right? It's like if I do something great and I do something amazing, I say Baruch Hashem. It doesn't mean that I think that God did it. It means I think I did it. I'm just, you know, sort of deflecting a little bit so I don't seem like a bald guy. So saying that God gave, this is what Rachel was saying that God gave me the seichel, right, God gave me the intelligence, the capability to figure this out, is not saying the same thing that God inserted the thought into my head. Right?
I actually do see a contradiction here between those two things, because in the beginning he's saying that God planted the love of you and the other people, but I see the end of it as where he's saying only a certain subset of people, but what he's kind of saying is when you're trying to pay attention to the people who are knowledgeable people and who make these judgments based on knowledge and facts, in light of today's world of fake news and all these things, and people making judgments about others, who they really don't know anything about them. Right. And that's what he's saying here, is that don't pay attention to those. When you're talking about the real to love you, don't bother with those who don't really know you and don't really know what's going on.
Right.
Because the ones who know you, they will love you, be satisfied.
Well, that, if you do good.
Right.
Right. Right. So again, so you can't. There are
enough to do good.
Right.
But the people who know that you truly inside are also that same person. You're not
just giving a lot of stuff up to hide the fact that you're beating your wife in the house.
Right, but let's say, I mean, so now let's take it to the next, let's take it to the next level. Let's say the people who I'm close with don't like me. Does that automatically mean that I'm not a good person?
What's with those people?
It's my family. It's my friends. It's my, you know. So let's take this one step further in terms of, and getting back to what Barbara was talking about before. Do I go out of my way now? Is this my goal? If you're telling me that because people like me, God's gonna like me, so here I have to make sure that people like me. I have to. That has to be my number one priority, is to people please. Right? Is that the takeaway? Right? So let's look at sources number 7, and then if we have time, 8. So source number 7 is Kolbos HaLevavos. As I pointed out in the past, most of the sources that we see in this year particularly are directly on Pirkei Avos. But remember that there's a whole corpus of concepts and books that aren't written on Pirkei Avos, but that quote Pirkei Avos. Right. So this is one of those that in Kolbos HaLevavos, he quotes here a statement of Pirkei Avos. And so look at the first source number 7, the right hand side, and then we'll go to the left hand side. I'm not sure why I did it that way. But the right hand side, the first word is to tempt, right? So it's starting in the middle of a sentence, but he's basically explaining things that the Yetzer Hara will tell you and how you should be able to counter the Yetzer Hara through various arguments. So he's going to be playing, he's going to be doing like a little dialogue between what the Yetzer Hara is going to say to you and what you can say back to the Yetzer Hara. So to tempt you and cause you to err in your own soul, the evil inclination will say to you, I am such as evil inclination talking. I am so happy that you have reached such a state, that your faith is strong and your heart is undivided toward God. You have already attained a degree of piety unequaled by anyone else in your generation. This is more than enough, right? You wish the Yitzhar told us this. This is more than enough of an expression of your gratitude to the Creator for His kindness and grace. You should also conduct yourself so as to fulfill some of your obligations to human beings. For as you know, they can further your interests or bring you harm, and as you have found out, if they are pleased with you, you will have honor, but if they are angry with you, you are headed for oblivion. Right? So the Yetzer Hara, interestingly, again, there's a larger context here which we're not getting into, but in his Yetzer Hara's dialogue is that you should try to please people. That's what the Yetzer Hara is trying to tell you. Now, the Yetzer Hara continues, you should therefore try to do what will please them, so as to win their favor. As our masters of blessed memory said, anyone in whom the spirit of his fellow creatures take pleasure, the spirit of the omnipresent takes pleasure. That's our Mishnah. The Yetzer Hara is quoting our Mishnah in order to try to push this person off the track. That was a very interesting, I'll just side point for a second, how he understands the Yetzer Hara here is very in line with how generally Chazal and the Midrashim and the Gemara understand Yetzer Hara, is that the Yetzer Hara is like a Talmud Chacham. The Yetzer Hara knows all of the Psukim, knows all the Midrashim, knows all the Mishnayos, and tries to manipulate them in order to get you to do something that's like, not even when we think of Yetzer Hara, it's not really, it doesn't sound like our type of Yetzer Hara. Chazal's Yetzer Hara was very different than the way we understand Yetzer Hara nowadays, and maybe at some point we can do that more systematically. So what are you supposed to say to this intelligent Yetzer Hara? Answer it this way. What good will it do to me to find favor with one who is as weak as I am, who does not have the power either to help or to harm me, as scripture says, forget about man, now in the left column, whose breath is in his nostrils, for of what account is he? Even if such a debt did exist, how could I satisfy all my contemporaries when I cannot satisfy the members of my household, much less other people? So why should I bother trying to please everybody? I can't even do myself. What you want me? I can't do my house. You want me to start pleasing other people? What is that going to get for me? As to what you quoted from the saying of our masters of blessed memory, it does not imply an obligation to attempt to please all people. Right? So the dialogue is a machlokas, how to understand the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It doesn't mean you have to please all people. Rather, Its meaning is like what one of the wise men said to his son in his will. My son, it is impossible for you to win the favor of all people. Try rather to win God's favor, and he will make you pleasing to people. As it is written, when God is pleased with a man's ways, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So according to, he flips it. The Chof Savo says, forget about trying to please people. You can't do it. You're never going to please people. So your only shot at pleasing people is to try to please God. Moreover, if someone is admired and praised by all people, young and old, and his deeds are pleasing to them, this is proof that God, may he be exalted, has sown love for him in people's hearts and given him the good name that is on their tongues. It is something that the Creator does not do for those who hate him. It is clear and powerful proof that God is pleased with this person. So he says, similar to what the Merkavah Mishnah says, is that the way to get people to love you is to follow God. And that proves, once the people do love you, that God is the one who did it. Otherwise it wouldn't happen. Right? But that a pious person should strive and labor to gain the praise of men for his service of God is not in accord with the code of conduct of the pious. Beware, therefore, of this and other such attempts of the evil inclination to entice you, for it seeks to lead you along on this road until it has brought you down into the trap of hypocrisy, when it praises you, answered as follows, what is it that you commend me for, that I am aware of my obligations to God? On the contrary, this is a claim that God has against me, since I fail to act in accordance with my awareness. So his point here is that don't try to please people. Don't try it. The only way that people are going to like you is to try to please God. Please God, and then God's going to help you out. Yeah.
Is it
they have a different Yetzirah.
So, yeah.
Right, so it could be the Yetzirah differs for who you are and what your challenge is.
To you and what's not.
Right.
Like,
that could be. And so he's trying to say that this is the least of the pious Yetzirah. Right. Okay. Let's do one more. The Orchot Tzaddikim. Orchot Tzaddikim is an anonymous sefer written in the Middle Ages. And he writes, similar to the Chovos Levavos, he's saying that the Yetzirah is going to rationalize theories of the effect that there is a mitzvah and reward in his praising and glorifying himself. Thus the evil, this is the fourth line, thus will the evil inclination say, you have already attained the high level of wisdom and saintliness, and you should ingratiate yourself with men and exert yourself to find favor in their eyes and flatter them and reveal your wisdom and righteousness to them in order to gain their love. And it will substantiate the argument in favor of the rabbis. All will find favor in the eyes of your fellow men, find favor in the eyes of God. It's basically the same thing that Chovos Levavos says. That's the Yetzirah is going to try to prove that. And now this is his answer. We're basically smack in the middle of source number 8. First one in the line is all. All these are false proofs. The theory itself being founded in pride. The truth is, as Scripture states, when Hashem desires a man's ways, his foes too make peace with him. This is how the matter is to be understood. If a man does not praise himself before others and does not attempt to find favor in their eyes, when he does his good deeds and in spite of this is beloved by them, this is strong proof that the Holy One, blessed be He, loves him and has sowed love for him in the hearts of men and given him a good name on their tongues. So he's basically saying that if you want people to like you, don't try to get people to like you. Right? That's not your goal. You should never have a goal that people should like you. My goal is to please God. How do I please God? I do mitzvos. I do mitzvos. People see that. God's going to help out. Now people are going to like me. But it should never be a direct goal. The Mishnah is not teaching me. Right? If there's one thing you take away from the Chovos Levavos and Orchot Tzaddikim, the message of the Mishnah is not try to please people. That's not the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying do good and people are going to like you. Just finish off the last part here. And the truth is that, and this is, I think this brings it home, that many men, this gets back to how we started, Judy, with your point. The truth is that many men are beloved by their fellow men and despised by the Holy One, blessed be He, when they do not fulfill the mitzvos. For the Holy One, blessed be He, loves only those who study Torah and abide by it. So here, he's saying that you can't use this, the point here is not, you know, look to see if people like you and that proves that God likes you. It can't be that's the case, because people like other people and God doesn't necessarily like them if they're not doing good. The only message of this Mishnah is, Do what God wants you to do. And then people are going to like you. That's it. Nothing else. Don't try to manipulate people to like you. That's not the message. That's counter. That's not what we want to be accomplishing. Yeah.
Yeah, the song, you know, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. It keeps just repeating myself. Like,
but that's not the message of the mission.
I know.
You can't please everyone, so please God.
No,
right?
But
okay,
what I'm saying is that if you're a righteous person and you're doing the things that are right because you're pleasing yourself by doing it, by doing that, you are pleasing God.
Right.
Even though you're not working just to please God and just to please people, you're doing it because you feel it's the right thing to do, and you're pleasing yourself by doing the right thing.
Right, so that gets into the connection that we've alluded to in the past of what role does that self-gratification of doing the right thing play in my service of God. So meaning I could argue that, you know, that even that's bad, right? I should do it only because God wants me to do it. Not because it feels good or feels right, and then work from there. What you're saying isn't wrong, but you would have to, I think, distinguish. There would be people who would say no, right? Don't do it because it feels good to you. Do it because it's the right thing, and that's what God wants you to do. If it feels good to you, great. If it doesn't, I don't care, right? You still have to do it. And if people like you, great. If people don't like you, you still got to do what the right thing is to do. But I think that I think that you do. If that's the case, you're basically taking away the message of the Mishnah, right? The Chovos Levavos and Orchos Tzaddikim are basically saying the Mishnah is not really telling you anything. The Mishnah is telling you, do what God wants you to do. And so then why bring in the fact that people like me or not like me? Oh, because if you're doing what God likes you to do, that prove that people, God's going to insert their liking of you in them. Okay, but then what if they don't like me? Oh, that's because they're not the right group of people, right? Oh, what if people like somebody who's not so good? Oh, that's because sometimes people who aren't so good are liked by other people anyway. So really, what's the message of the Mishnah? Just follow Torah and mitzvot. So then why bring anything about other people, right? So I think that at the very least, if you want to give this Mishnah some standing with all the caveats that we've been focusing on until now, is that whether other people like you sometimes, in certain contexts, is a rubric of whether or not you're doing the right thing. Right? Assuming you're in the right group of people and they are approving of what you're doing, then that should be an indicator to you that you're doing the right thing.
Right. Yeah. It would seem to be the flip side of the coin of the much earlier Mishnah, I think from the first paragraph, and I forget the last one of the Mishnah, but one who chases after honor runs away from him, one who runs away from honor, you know, runs after him. So that's essentially what Orthodoxy is saying over here. Don't try to impress people, serve God, and then people will be impressed by you. But if you're going to go try to make friends, you know, try to make yourself, you know.
That can't be the goal. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Barry.
I think the mission makes sense on the broadest stroke because it does use the word brios, which should be inclusive of all human beings. And I'm thinking, I know we're not supposed to apply to not just the Dar HaFlada.
You could apply to not.
Okay.
With the caveat that, you know.
That's not what they wrote in the book.
Right.
The Dar HaFlada was not destroyed because of their achdus. So that doesn't show that Hashem liked them, but it shows that there was some recognition that because they got along with each other, that they weren't going to be destroyed like Dar HaMavel. So I think if you think of it in the broadest terms, the idea is that people should get along with each other. It's part of Yishuv Ha'olam. So it's a basic principle that he's saying that applies to everybody. It's not simply to Tommy and Kohen.
Right. I hear. I think that could be a way of looking at this. And I think that has to be, to some extent, you have to look at this broadly. You can't, right, once you start questioning and, you know, each detail and each nuance and each exception to the rule, then you end up saying absolutely nothing. So there's a main, broad, generalized statement of, in general, when people like you, it shows that you're doing the right thing, with exceptions.
I just want, just to respond to Barry, because this struck me before in the Orchos Tzaddikim, the last few lines, that many men are beloved by their fellow men and despised by Hashem when they do not fulfill the mitzvos. For the Holy One, blessed be, loves only those who study Torah and abide by it. So what does that do to non-Jews?
Right.
They're kind of like out of the equation, but that's not the whole way that we live our lives. We live our lives, when we say, oh, we have this brios, it's not, oh, we have only this Jewish brios. We are.
Maybe. Right? So we're not there. We didn't do that Mishnah yet. We gotta see the. Okay. We gotta see what that Mishnah teaches us. Yeah.
I may not remember exactly, but by Eo, it says that God loves him. I don't know if it says that people love him because the people who come to him when he struck with the makla over there, they weren't very nice. They tell him to stop, you know, worshiping God. We don't know if he's Jewish. We don't know if he's Jewish.
Right. So, for that reason, I think Eov is, you can't really apply Eov to anything. I mean, you have to, it's that definitionally, Eov is an exception to everything. But yeah, I hear, but it's interesting to think about it. Yeah, Barb, and then we're going to, Sarita, and then we're going to call it a day. Right, so it's an interesting question. It gets deep. Meaning, from a practical level, you're right that in general we use social feedback to see if what we're doing is correct and something we want to do more, and we're reinforced by people liking us to do more good things. But I think the message of the Mishnah might be, you know, according to this line of logic, is that no. Why do I do the right thing? Because that's the mitzvah. I don't need to. You're saying that I do want people to like me. No, I don't care if people like me. I mean, it's nice if people like me, but my goal is not people like me. My goal is to do the mitzvah, and I don't need to look for social recognition or social feedback in order to prove that I'm doing the right thing. Because sometimes, you know, the people aren't going to give me the right feedback. And so I'm going to look at the Torah, I'm going to look at the mitzvahs, so I'm going to, you know, and social feedback is important, but it's really not my guiding factor. Right, I do what's right because it's right. So it's complex. There's no right answer to this, and I think it depends on the context. But, you know, the broad strokes, I think that's what, at least the Chovos HaLevavot, Chovos HaLevavot, and the Tzaddikim are understanding it. And
I'll make it very quick. So yes. I was just making me think of that, the Hayakim Shema Kishnur, about us as a collective, as Jews, not just individually, but us as a group of Jewish people, when we listen to, when we observe the Torah correctly, and we do the mitzvah correctly, how does everybody else view us? Like, to the rest of the world, do they like us? Do they not like us? When we listen to the, when we observe the mitzvah properly, when we don't, where our position is in the world throughout history, when we were doing the right thing, as opposed to where we weren't doing the right thing, taking this and making it into more of a global picture.
Yeah, you could, but I think you would get to the same. To the same result. Is that at the end of the day, I got to do what I got to do, and you know, it's follow Torah mitzvos and hope that people like me. Why don't people like me now? So either because, you know, why do people like me? Because God inserted that thought into their head. Or it's just natural because we're in Orla Goyim and we're doing the right thing. Or maybe they don't like me even though I'm doing the right thing because God inserted the thought into their head right now not to like me as a punishment for, you know, something. So we get too complex. I think it's broad strokes here. Generally, you do the right thing because it's the right thing. God's going to approve of it, and hopefully then people are going to like you. There are exceptions to the rule, but yeah. Bechira or Mechira? Thank you.